But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid out for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the one undivided God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I must say, I love the scriptures today. Vanity of vanity. What's the point? You work hard and someone else gets all the fruit of your labor. This is just no point to any of this. It's just one of the reasons why you know the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And not if humans got together and said, "Let's make a religious book," some things would probably not be in it. But this is a great example of one of those ones that got in because of God's Holy Spirit. It is one of those great frustrations of humanity. I've done all this work, I've created all this, and now these kids are gonna do it. What are they gonna do with it? They don't know what they're doing. They didn't earn any of this, they're gonna squander it. What is the point of all this? It is such a wonderful passage. It's a great one to read. It's a vanity. By the end of it, you just want to laugh. It's just so much. And even the lesson in the gospel today of this, I mean, the guy's got it together. He's got all his 401ks. He's got enough money to retire. He's got it all set up. I said, "Okay, I am set to go. I can retire now and no more worries. I've got my everything under control." And we really don't have much of our life under control in a larger picture. And where we focus, where is our focus? I realize that much of my life I missed in many ways. High school, I still wonder what happened at that point. I see pictures every so often and says, "Really, I was there, wasn't I?" Raising children, I think I made it through by survival method. We're all alive at the end of the day. You know, this is all I'm looking for. No blood, good, this is it. They all turn 18, I win, yay. You know, this is how I was clueless of how to raise kids too, and I go back to it. And it's one of those things of what happened. And they're all grown up, and how did I get so blessed and fortunate? I mean, the things that could happen are just so amazing. And then when I saw my children, and I intellectually understood the grandparent thing, but when I saw my son with a little baby girl in his arms, my knees melted. I finally stopped at that point and realized, this is sacred. I kind of got it before, but my whole body knew it at that point. This was to see, and then my other son would come at the 8 o'clock service with this little baby girl. It was just the most cutest thing in the world. It just melted my heart seeing them care for this child. And to see how a new parent just discovers life in a way, I don't think they really know what they're doing either. And I think they're getting by day to day of just, you know, they're doing the same thing of just, okay, what's next? Who needs to be where and who they got this and the diaper needs to be changed? But I, from my perspective, really see this is a sacred bond that's being formed. And we have these journeys. And I had three boys, and I always wanted a little girl. I thought, you know, I watched a little girl run up to this dad's arm. I said, "Oh, that just looks like so wonderful to have a little girl to love daddy." You know, I just thought that'd be one. And God granted my prayer, but it was a 12-year-old stepdaughter. And I learned, be specific when you pray. And I know, I mean, Tony had daughters, and Tony, I had sons, and he had daughters, and it was really kind of a dynamic that There was something special about that father-daughter relationship that is just, there is something I never experienced, I never knew, and kind of watching it, but there was something very holy about that. And I was really brought home watching Emily with her father as he's slowly going downhill and caring for the course of one's life with a relationship like that. It's not the jumping into the arm of the little baby. It's the course of time, the time apart from each other, time coming back, the time enduring certain journeys and just sharing moments. It is a treasure of a relationship that there is no amount of money, all the money in the world could not compare with the relationship itself, the dynamic of that, the depth of that relationship. It is very precious. And it is something that is very deep. And when it is wounded, when there's something happens such as incest, or a daughter does something that just breaks the trust to such a deep level, it rips the soul. It just rips the soul in a deep way for the daughter or the father. It is, in any of these sacred mother, so you could look at it in many different ways, but it just rips the soul. And the healing for such thing has to go back to the very core, the seed from that relationship. And all relationships have their seed in God. For Christ is all and in all. And what we do with these relationships, whatever, however they may blossom in our life, this is the treasure in heaven. And you cannot amass amounts of treasure. You know, we put them into the silos and the whole bit. But the relationship is that is something you give throughout your life. You give constantly. At the end, you don't have anything because you've given all you have to that relationship. And this is what it's about. This is the treasure in heaven. Jesus came as an incarnate human being to let us human beings know that it is in this mortal life that there are ways in which you can come into relationship with God. Jesus walked and embraced and held and lived and laughed with these people to know it is in this, the joys, the suffering, the sharing of the meals, and in the suffering and life and death itself that we can come to know something much larger than ourselves. The mysteries beyond anything we would know. The peace that passes all understanding. And so much of this is all in the relationships. And you cannot put a relationship into a silo. You cannot put it into a 401k. You cannot put it in anything other than the time spent with each other, or the letters spent, or most importantly, the prayers that are in the heart day by day by day. Anyone who has ever given birth knows that you know that the child is always part of your very breath. Will always be there, even if their distance is great. And as we get older, we know that this is so true of all. My son is driving up from Washington today, and I'm all day long. I'm going to be, where are you now? Are you okay? You okay? How's it going? I mean, I am probably paying more attention to things than he is. He's probably having a good time with his girlfriend as they're driving up. But just as how we care for one another in our relationships, this is the treasure in the sacred dimension whose seed is from God. And it could be simply our companion or a friend that we've known for years. It could be our siblings. All of these carry with them a depth of beauty that is found and begins from God. It is the sacred breath of our life. And when we view things that's not as important, I want to protect and do something for them, but not spend as much time or somehow give them things, it's not the same, and the vanity comes in. Because we cannot control them, we cannot own them, we simply love them. And we experience their love. The depth of our relationships, this is where the experience of God spoke to us as an incarnate, one of the elements of Christianity, of religions that is at its core, the understanding of the human life. There's no escape. If I want God to, Deus ex machina, so God to come from the sky and rescue me, the army comes out of the hills and rescues at the last minute, whatever it might be, it's not going to happen. God has been with us through the journey. And God is with us as we take these steps. And it may be even the relationship we have with our pets and animals as we care for them and how they somehow know our where we're when we come home so hurt, and they know that they need to be with us a little bit more. They know that in these relationships, the core of this is from God. Our perspective is not in the control and amassing, it is in looking at the relationships, being aware of these presence. This is the turning of our beginning of our week and our religion to turn to focus on these things. Not the to-do list, not the, all the things that need to be done or gotten, or I want to have some way of control. It is, in fact, what happens with the people with whom we live. Part of this renovation process we're going through has been the great emails from Rob and the updates. It's just, the renovations are secondary to the relationship that he sends these emails out to the various people that need to make decisions, and they themselves become part of the relationship of working together to make it happen. The church is just a manifestation of that. It is the journey we take. It is in this that the vanity is no longer the vanity of vanities. I've worked so hard for everything. I've done all I can, and these are the people that are there with me, or their memories themselves hold me. The cards that are sent and somehow surprise me. Somehow there are people that have defined my life, and they may not know it, but I do. And in this larger unity of life, we are held by God. And it is all from the seeds of God that have been planted into our life in sometimes chance encounters that turn into lifelong relationships. The seeds of God that are sown into our life time and time again throughout our life. It's the one part of, is always the great miracle of the church is that, you know, these little wafers are actually seen as bread. That this is, but they are really also like a seed. A seed that is a reminder that every time we eat, every time we, throughout this week, that these seeds are being sown. And once again, a seed of God is sown into my life and the opportunity of this these moments ahead. Let us remember our relationships. Let us observe these relationships. Let us pray and hold them in our heart. Because we find that in watering them and in caring for them, we are finding that the very core of the source of them that is being nourished is our very relationship with God. It is not just these people of my life and the people who I didn't choose to be in relationship with, but it is the presence of God coming into my life in the persons of people around me. Sometimes seen, sometimes unseen, but always in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not vanity when we amass our hearts and our treasures in the kingdom of God's love, and that is around us and before us and within us. Amen.